be a part of it, too.
Was he here?
Mm-hmm. He was here earlier today. He said he would take, like, the 3 o'clock train, and we're like, Ricky, please.
Yeah, I'll wait for the 3:50 train.
Better look next time, won't we?
He only lives in Wakefield.
Yeah. Alright.
And he drives, dude.
Yeah. Anyway. Welcome to the Lifecast, everybody. Hi. We have an especially big podcast today because everyone's home from everywhere they went to.
Yeah, I went a lot of great places.
So, here to my left, we have Tiffany.
No, mine's not here.
We have Kennedy.
Hello, I'm
back from Oklahoma.
Yep.
We got Dan, who's a regular.
Yo.
Greg, who's a regular.
Yo.
Pat.
Hi.
Sydney.
Adam,
and myself, who are all regulars.
Everyone likes to cut you off, Sydney.
I'm sorry, I had to get through everyone.
It's okay. Actually, I think, like, me and Tiffany...
Yeah, you're the only two that aren't regulars.
Yeah, so...
But it feels real big.
Yep. I'm exhausted.
Why are you exhausted?
Because Shine was this weekend, and it was the first media event that we ever went to!
We
as in... Me, Dan, and Adam. and it was tight.
It was
so good.
It was tight. I found that, like, the space was big
enough. No, like, tight as in, like, off the chain.
Off the chain?
Yep.
As the children
did something
speak.
Fall?
Yeah, like...
I must have missed it.
They dropped...
H-Box's spirit
fell. Can we talk about the meme?
The
whiteboard
the
meme.
The whiteboard meme, yes.
S-Fat took Mewtwo King to Final Destination.
Counter-logic gaming. Leffen was fucking killing it during Shine. I was just following him. And
This was a really good weekend to get into competitive Smash.
Yes.
Like, the best weekend.
Not for Smash 4, but for Melee, it was the fucking
for
best
For Smash 4,
weekend.
For me, like, going to Shine, finding a favorite player, he took second... And then we interviewed him.
Don't get used to it.
Obviously not.
Don't get used to him getting second place.
No,
used to anyone getting second place, especially in Smash 4.
Smash 4,
obviously
nothing's
not.
Fucking guaranteed ever.
Yeah, I know that. I'm well aware.
It's ridiculous.
So yeah, we'll have that interview with Esam up this week.
Probably. That'll be the easiest thing for me to edit.
Yeah.
And I got an SD card reader from the Media Lab, so I got everything.
Yay. Adam and I will both have pictures. Dan will be doing all our video.
Yeah.
We also interviewed Shi Deng of Big Blue Esports, who basically put the event on.
Woo.
And, like, a big shout-out to him for, you know...
He's awesome.
Existing.
And I know he took a lot of risks making the event happen, so endless props to that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fun fact, me and Deanna actually just ran into him.
Yeah, we did.
To CEX. We were just going there for a lens, and you want to tell him what you walked home with?
I walked home with a laptop.
Did he sell it to you? He's just like, hey, I got this laptop.
No, but there was a little thing on it. Oh my god, like, whoever wrote the quips for these laptops was amazing.
Kennedy will have those up, too, on her, like, Twitter bootleg page?
I'm probably not going to put them on bootleg page, because they're not bootlegs, but I'll put them on my personal Twitter, which you can get to through bootleg page.
Yeah.
Red Bart is cool. But, like, some of them were, like, a little laptop with a big heart. Deanna said, you want it. And one of them said, Windows 10, yeah, boy.
What? Those aren't even quips. Those are just statements.
They were there.
Like, clearly they worked.
I mean, it said that she wanted it, and she wanted it.
I have poor impulse control.
Same.
As we know. Like, really bad impulse control. It's not my strong suit. Let's move on.
Shine was super heartbreaking for me, though. Because I'm a Mango diehard, because me and Mango have, like, the same mentality when it comes to just fighting games in general. And it's do the dopest thing at possible, always, all the time, whenever. Try to win. Fuck playing optimally. Play the best that you can be.
Absolutely.
And be as hype as possible. So I've been a Mango diehard ever since I, like, first watched them play, like, a year or two ago. And, like, man, that was heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking.
Because, like, Mango was playing, like, insanely well, like bonkers well.
Yeah,
and I've never seen Mango, because, like, Mango, like, he hasn't been he's been in a bit of a rough patch. But, like, usually when he loses, it's like, oh, Mango isn't playing that well. But Mango was playing out of his fucking mind.
Yeah.
And then S-Fat just played better, I guess. Well, it was
Mango just got punished the same way five times in a row.
Oh man. It was the most heartbreaking match I ever saw. But holy shit, S-Fat.
Yeah.
S-Fat fucking killed it.
Yeah.
I've always believed in S-Fat because he's been doing all right for a while. But then, like, I would just watch him in 2v2s. And he would get into situations where he would just 1v1 gods all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he went against Hungrybox and Mewtwo King, like, as a team. And then would just, like, proceed to 1v1 Mewtwo King and then 1v1 HBox, and then like he would just do it over and over again. And then I was like, this dude is really good at this game.
Yeah.
And it was nice to finally see him get his time in the light, because he fucking deserves it.
Yeah. I've also never, I don't know what the frame data is on this, but like he would get the shine spikes on stage. I don't know what the frame data of that is. But like in Trash 4, you have 2 frames to punish a ledge get up.
Yeah.
Or a ledge grab. I don't know what the fuck it is in Melee, but I've never, like, that isn't even optimal. Like, I've never even seen people try to get shine spikes while you're on stage like that.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy to get, like, 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah, to get them in that succession is crazy, but it does happen from time to time.
But yeah, definitely not very often.
Yeah. It was a great event. I didn't watch too much of Smash 4. That's nothing new.
It wasn't wasn't exceptional this time. Zero played exceptionally well. Everybody who faced Zero, Zero didn't play many really good characters.
Yeah.
So Zero just got to fucking pummel with Diddy Kong.
Yeah.
Because Diddy Kong's very much a really solid character, and if you're playing Diddy Kong and you don't leave any openings, that's it. Yeah. Like, it's over. And that's what he did the entire tournament.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, aside from, Shine news, which I think, did we talk about everything?
There wasn't really any news.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a really good event.
Yeah, I'm really, well really looking forward to next year.
Yeah, that's what I was surprised. I was like, our first major up in here, I was like, oh, sounds a bit sketchy. But I heard, there was a lot of interviews, I think one with ESAM, he specifically mentioned that it was like, this is really, well run.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they had the VIP section, which was causing a bit of a controversy.
You know what? Fucking
K-Brad!
K-Brad tweeting up a storm about that was, I didn't watch Shine, but I watched K-Brad tweet about Shine, and I got so much more enjoyment out of that, because K-Brad, god, took him to the fucking cleaner.
I want to talk about the VIP section as well, because it wasn't a VIP section. It was not. They had stream setups, they had your commentator setups, and they had, a place where top players could go and just, not be in the limelight. I think that's fine.
Fantastic thing.
Yeah.
I don't like to point fingers at anybody. Of course, I'm not. I like watching drama. I don't like unfolding drama.
I'm like watching. Honestly, I like
the honesty.
Yeah. There were players that were in, I won't name names. There were certain, specifically Smash 4,
yes,
players that were in there the entire fucking weekend.
Yes.
And I didn't see them on the floor once outside of pools. Right when they could get in there, that was it.
Yeah.
The whole weekend. That's crazy. And that's really shitty.
Yeah, that's a character thing. It's we shouldn't feel bad that the players want to play it as good as they can.
Yeah.
Because, it is, I can't even imagine what it's like walking around. I don't like people. Mm-hmm. I like to keep to myself. Outside of, when I, oh my god.
Hold on. We're back.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. As I was saying, I don't remember exactly where I left off, but I'll just start.
You were saying,
you don't like people.
You don't like people.
Oh, yes.
The person, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. There's a lot of
you too.
No, it's just I'm generally an introvert to keep to myself.
Yeah.
It's I'm also the guy who shouts and my pop-offs are fucking stupid as fuck. But it's a lot of these players, they want to they're introverted and they need time to themselves. And it's just there's nothing wrong with providing that. The only thing I can kind of get with the VIP section is since lots of fighting game tournaments are hey, everyone's just playing, you can sign up and you can potentially fight against the pros, it's there's that sort of spirit of everyone who's competing should get the same treatment.
Yep.
Yeah.
But if you put a VIP room that includes all the contestants, then a 900 person tournament Shine, that kind of defeats the purpose. But I do it makes sense to me to be okay, everyone's competing at the same level, so everyone should have the ability to warm up whenever they want. That's the only thing. But at the same time, it's in actuality, me, if I go to a tournament, no one's gonna stop me. That's just not reality. And so I can feel free to just find any setup I want and then just warm up or practice whatever. So it's
the whole thing with it is I understand the reason for a VIP room, mm-hmm, and I feel to an extent it should work. The only thing I really have against it is that they had the warm-up stations inside the VIP room
yeah.
that not everyone could, like, get to.
Mm-hmm.
So they are basically playing favorites because, like, these yeah. players get to warm up right. against people on their own level, and everyone else has to maybe warm up at a friendlies booth against someone they don't know. And mm-hmm. it's just, I don't think it's a fair comparison. If they want to warm up, they should warm up at the friendly booths.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think there should be a spot where they should just be able to get away from the crowd
yeah.
because these people aren't there to compete. Yeah.
They maybe like, and then at the same time, like, when you get into the top 8 and top 32,
yeah. no,
like,
I feel like,
then have that.
Yeah,
because then you'll be competing against people at your
yeah,
own level.
Have a warm-up station for top 8, but it
don't
shouldn't
have,
matter who is in
top
8.
Weekend. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, top 8 regardless of who's in. If some nobody from fucking Alaska is in top 8, he gets to use it too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alaska lives but, matter.
But, like...
We love you, Alaska.
Shout out to the fucking people
Alaska.
Who, even though they had the VIP room, were still out on the floor doing friendlies the entire fucking day.
Yeah.
Mewtwo
like,
King
like,
is...
Like, Mewtwo King is my fucking hero. Mewtwo King got there on Friday at 3 o'clock with his fucking luggage. Mewtwo King got into Smash 4 setup and was playing Smash 4 the entire day with his luggage next to him, playing friendlies the entire fucking day until it ended.
That's actually real cool.
I know that K-Brad, he did a lot of tweeting, again, about this whole VIP room thing, and one of the things he was very vehement about was saying that before he was a major competitor in the FGC, he would go to these tournaments all the time, and one of the biggest things he'd look forward to are meeting all these, like, top-notch players and, you know, getting to play against them, but also just getting to meet them, you know, especially, you know, at that level. It's, like, it's a huge deal, mm-hmm. and how, like... You know, like you were saying, there were some players who just stood in the VIP room the whole time, and that, you know, that takes away from the experience for some of the fans. But
yeah.
I do think
yeah.
that, you know, like, you know, there's a certain point where it's like, you know, you shouldn't have your fucking luggage just sitting with you all day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. take a few minutes to get your fucking hotel.
You should definitely, like, have a place to put things, like,
yeah.
honestly.
Yeah.
Like
being
the
on,
VIP room.
Like, being
like
on media
VIP
and having a place to put, like, 3 camera bags was really fucking nice.
Yeah.
I understand it wasn't, like, for us, but...
It was
a
place
really
that
nice,
we could
okay?
use. Yeah.
And, like, it was quiet. We did interviews back there. Not like, our, like, pop box interviews, but, like, the other, like, more professional-looking interviews we did that back there, and it was, like, less noise.
Yeah.
You know? So that's definitely a factor. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think it's a good idea. In theory, in practice, some players might abuse it, which is, you know...
They
that's
had the right thought line, it just could have been executed
Don't
exactly.
don't be their fan.
Yeah.
If they don't care about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they don't care about
yeah.
you.
Just follow Mango.
Yeah.
That's what everybody... Everyone, let's all join the Mango Nation. Let's all do it together.
Also, props to Mango. Mango was in the VIP room, like, during Top 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
see him there...
Yeah, I didn't see
it.
I think
there, like,
he went
a
there
a couple of times.
Yeah.
I think like, I saw him, like, cutting through the VIP room to get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah!
Yeah. I saw him there during Top 8 and no other time.
Yeah.
That entire weekend.
So, yeah, that's just...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like... Like, I met a couple, like, high-level players, and I went to a couple tournaments, and it's just, like, for me, it's always just, like, oh, yeah, they're just dudes.
They're just dudes, yeah.
It's just, like,
dudes.
They're just, like... Oh, yeah, they're not, like, you know, they're not, like, 7 feet tall,
yeah.
like, fucking Greek gods.
Yeah,
just
what the hell?
They just play this game a lot more than
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
like,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, like, yeah, they just, they're people, too. Like, I was saying, since I'm an introvert, I don't want people talking to me all the time.
Yeah.
So, they're probably just as human as I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably.
All right. I feel like that's all there really is to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, after that pretty long intro segment, what have you guys been playing this week?
This week.
Yeah, let's start with you
recently.
And Kennedy. Tiffany? What have you been playing this week?
Well, I don't think I really played anything this week, but I have been playing Civ 5 and CSGO.
Okay. And how do you like those?
I mostly, like, enjoy shooters. So, yeah.
Civ 5,
I'm not... I like strategy games, but I fucking suck at them, but I still play it, and it's cool.
Civ 5 is a
strategy. Well, what
it's
kind
like
of strategy?
Real time.
Yeah,
real
kinda.
Time.
Yeah.
It's an
kind
RTS?
Of, but turn-based real time?
It's
ish.
Yeah, if you can combine those two? Because you take turns if you're playing with
well, I mean,
people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we all... Like, everyone
okay, so there's a we... So it's not just you, so it is
no,
turn.
But if you play, like, multiplayer,
yeah.
all the players get to move, like, at the same time until, like,
oh,
you
they
end
do?
Your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I play turn-based.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I think there's like settings, so
maybe.
I feel like in practice, it's a lot easier to explain.
Yeah. But in theory,
it's
like
how it's probably one of those things that makes sense when you're playing, but when you try to explain it,
you should know what it looks like at least.
I played Civ like maybe 20 minutes.
I put like 100 hours into Civ 5. I finished about 5 matches.
Oh my god, dude. I had a friend back in Oklahoma. His name is Brad, and he has put like an ungodly amount of time in Civ 5. I think he's like 300, 500, something in fucking insane.
So that's like 20 games.
It's like two.
Yeah.
No, but the weird part about it is, though, and he tells me about this all the time, anytime you even bring up Civ, is that when he first got it, he didn't understand the damnedest thing about how to play it. So he watched 100 hours of Let's Plays before he even touched it again. And then he went in there and he just went ham. Like I said, he's somewhere between 300 and 500, plus watching 100 plus hours of Let's Plays before he was like, yeah, you know, I think I kind of understand this.
This would be like if Deanna watched all of Critical Role before attempting to play D&D.
I
kind of
did that with Deadstone. And it was certainly more than 100 hours.
Also, let me go on record and say that I'm admitting defeat in watching all of Critical Role before catching up.
I'm sorry for calling you that.
It's okay. It's a lot of content. It's a lot of content.
It's like
dense.
Almost 100 episodes, all 3 hours long.
It would be
some four,
like
some five.
180 plus hours to watch before next week, like Thursday.
Oh my God.
And you work.
Are there even that many hours?
Yeah, like, and
Thursday?
Do work,
I don't
and
think
do
so.
Sleep. And, like, eat,
and
shower, exist, play with Eugene, my adorable chinchilla pet.
I want to touch him.
You already have. You went to my house once.
I want to do it again.
All right. We'll have a YouTube special where everyone just comes to my house and we, like, hang out with
Eugene.
A Eugene special. Yeah, that'll be great. I can't bring him here because he'd get super nervous on the
lawn.
Yeah, please don't bring him.
I mean, even I get fucking
he'll either
nervous.
Get lost
bring him here, fucking die.
Or killed.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
Shivers and shakes. So I've been, like, in Critical Role.
Spooky. Huh?
So how have you been, like, in Critical Role?
It's so good. Like, incredibly good.
Yeah.
I can feel myself improving.
Yeah.
Like, just watching a really good DM.
Do his thing. Yeah.
Mm. And I hope to put that into practice someday.
Yeah.
you know, when we start running Shadowrun again, I realize everyone's schedules are kind of booked.
It's not hitting me right now.
Okay.
I don't need this. Stop hitting me again, I'll let you know.
No, so it's
wholesome. I can't really do that. Like, when I try and play a game, I just don't really care about the strats. I just go with the flow.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Wait, what?
we've played D&D together.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
what
when
strats?
I tell people about my favorite D&D stories from the, like, what, 6 or 7 months of playing,
yeah, right.
I always talk about
Tougher.
Getting out of jail and breaking all your bones.
Yeah.
And essentially turning into soup.
I mean,
yeah.
Broken soup.
Yeah,
if you're a GM and something is supposed to be impossible, don't let them roll for it. That is a lesson I learned behind
it. Was that a nat 20 roll?
Yeah, that was a nat 20,
was.
Which is automatic success.
I remember when I was supposed to hit on that maid or whatever?
That
you rolled a nat 20.
I rolled a 20.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You rolled at a disadvantage.
Huh? Yeah, because no one walks up to someone, hits on them by saying, your hands smell like barbecue.
I mean,
that's how you roll. That's why you roll with disadvantage.
I disagree.
Oklahoma.
Oh my god.
Barbecue does not exist.
Certain games this week.
I don't want to inhale someone or have them inhale me and have them compliment me with, like, you smell like meat.
Can we put this in, like, out of context?
I don't even like
red
meat.
Quotes.
Yes. So yeah, you were given disadvantage because
of the ridiculousness
of such a strange statement to make in a strange time.
I don't think it's strange at all.
That's because you're fucking weird. That's because you're fucking strange.
I guess so.
So, Kennedy,
yeah.
What
have
you
been playing this week?
I'm not really focusing in on one game right now.
Stardew Valley.
Okay, well, I actually haven't played Stardew Valley in a couple weeks. For all you viewers who don't know this, I'm a fucking Stardew Valley addict, and I've logged over 100 hours in, but, what I've been playing lately mostly is, I've got Fire Emblem 7, And I've been playing through it, and it's fucking long, and it's RNG, and I love it, and I hate it. I don't know which yet.
Which one is which 7?
The first one.
Yeah, the first one that came out in the States.
In the States, oh, yes. Okay. I played Sacred Stones earlier in the summer, after being told that it was, you know, one of the best games on the GBA, and...
I fucking warned you.
And
It's really mediocre.
It was really mediocre. It was just... But I was told that 7 was better, and it is so far, but... Anyway, yeah. I've been playing that. I've been playing... Honestly, the one I've probably been playing the most of lately is Ace Attorney Dual Destinies. I'm a huge fan of Ace Attorney. It's one of my all-time favorites, and I'm really hyped for Spirit of Justice. But I never was able to get Dual Destinies when it came out because I didn't have a 3DS at the time. And earlier this summer, it was on sale for $10.
I swear to God, there's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Game called Dual Destinies.
There probably fucking is.
There is.
There is. Yeah, it's just a different duel.
Yeah. So I've been playing Dual Destinies, and I'm almost done with it. And then the other game I've been playing is, it's a mother-inspired indie game called Lisa.
Understand.
Of course. and it's really fucked up. That's what it is. Oh my god.
Send me the link. I'm interested.
Lisa?
Yeah, it's on Steam, and it's really fucking dark. It's really unforgiving for
the first dark and edgy.
it's this indie game that came out a couple of years ago. It's got a couple parts, like there's Lisa the Joyful, etc., etc. I think there's only like 2 or 3 parts, but I'm still on the first one, but I digress. And it's really unforgiving for the first, like, 2 hours because it just throws you in and it's just, like, get fucked up. And you have to learn to fend for yourself, which I think is a really good way of building atmosphere in this game because it takes place in this post-apocalyptic world. And for reasons that haven't been explained to me yet, I don't know if they'll ever even be explained, but there are no women anymore, ever. And this one guy is, he's just living in, you know, post-apocalyptic future, doing whatever, and he finds a baby girl. And he's had a pretty fucked up life. You see his flashbacks every now and again in the game. And instead of, you know, selling her off somewhere to, like, evil gangs, he decides, I'm going to raise her in secret and I'm going to do good for this kid because my parents never did good for me. And, you know, it's going to be all heartwarming. And then it fast forwards a couple of years and she's been kidnapped and you're trying to save her. But
it started getting more of its own when you kept describing it. Because, like, the first, like, minute and a half of that, I was like, you're just telling me the story of fucking Children of Men.
No! But, it's really good. It's just, like I said, you just have to get past those first 2 hours because it's really unforgiving. It gives you, like, it tells you the basic controls, but then it just, like, it puts you in this, I don't want to say totally open world, but a very vast world in which you just don't know what the fuck you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to defend yourself, and you gotta figure it out.
Speaking of controls, what kind of game is it?
You cut, Greg.
Wait,
is this a controlled 2 hours, or did it just personally take you 2 hours?
It personally took me, like, 2 hours, but if you get really lucky and you find,
or
like...
Or really lost.
Or really lost, or, you know, if you get really lucky, though, and, like, you somehow find, like, you know, where you're supposed to be, just...
I'm having Dragon Age.
Lucky your hands, you know... It might take you shorter. As for the genre, it is an RPG.
Okay.
So, Dan, what have you been playing this week? Aside from, you know,
Super Robot,
etc.
I think I've just been playing Super Robot Wars. The same mission.
Yeah, right? The same mission.
Are you still doing the explodey mechs?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my god.
Wow.
I feel like that was like 2 weeks ago.
I think it was.
Oh my god.
It's a really hard mission and it's a super early chapter. I forget exactly what number, but it's really early.
Is it hard or is it just like unfair?
It's hard.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Like it's just a genuinely hard game. It's not unfair. I just I just suck at math.
Okay. All right.
So. Am I playing anything else?
Are you?
I mean, you played Street Fighter.
That's what we're asking,
tonight,
Daniel.
But...
You played Smash today.
I played Smash today.
Dot Hack!
Okay, I played another, like, hour of Dot Hack.
Tell him about the fun times you had with Alcade last night.
It took me 9 attempts and I never won.
On a battle,
I feel like this
isn't
is a
even
sore
that
subject
hard.
And we should move on. Greg.
Yeah.
Speaking of subjects that are old, I play Dark Souls. All right.
Do you want to elaborate, like, real quickly?
Yes, I have been playing Dark Souls 2 because I never got to the DLC. I think I might have mentioned this on an earlier podcast, but make a lot of progress. It's a lot of fun. I've never played through a Souls game co-op, so it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whole other world because instead of becoming like this sort of grueling, really hard RPG, it becomes like a really fun, just like whoop a lot of dudes' asses with a friend type of game. and it's fun in a different way now, which is really strange. There's so much variety. There's such good games. Some would call them masterpieces. Actually, but for Dark Souls 2, but in actuality, Dark Souls 2 DLC is fucking amazing. I did not think, because I was like, oh, it's good, it's a lot better than the game, but, like, especially with, like, Dark Souls 2 got, like, an insanely bad rep, and having sort of played all the Souls games now and just kind of, like, soaking it in, Dark Souls 2 really is not that bad compared to the other ones, and I've really been enjoying my time through, but this DLC is insane. Like, I started doing the boss fight versus the Ivory King, and that has to be, like, one of my, if not my favorite boss fight in any Souls game. It's, like, it's just fucking cool, man. You pretty much, like, plunge into hell, and there's, like, several portals, and you have to sort of recruit some knights throughout the area of the DLC, mm-hmm. and you have, like, this huge battle with a whole bunch of knights who gets, like, dark knights who get summoned from the portal, so you have these white knights fighting with you, and you fight, like, waves of, like, dark knights, and then gradually your white knights will sacrifice themselves and then, like, close some of the portals, and then after you close the portals, a giant portal appears, and the Ivory King shows up, and you have a sick 1v1 with him in, like, pretty much hell. You're like a floating rock, and there's just, like, magma all around you, and since it's Souls, they have this sort of, like, interesting where their hellscape is, like, simultaneously, like, nature-like, so there's, like, this trees interwoven with the lava, and it's just fucking beautiful.
Trees and lava. It sounds like Oklahoma.
Yeah. Because, like, there's this very interesting, like, I should probably shouldn't go into this, but Dark Souls, like, the pyromancy is the sort of art of manipulating fire, and the Witches of Izalith, pretty much, they're, like, effectively like druids, but, like, they have mastery of fire, so there's, like, lots of the pyromancy has, like, the themes of, like, nature and fire simultaneously, so you'll be, like, literally, like, in, like, a volcano, and there'll just be, like, roots just everywhere, and it just looks great, and it's also, like,
I've seen the hentai.
I doubt it. I honestly doubt it.
I don't doubt it.
Unless it's soul-specific hentai, this is my first experience with lava and nature, like, trees sort of fused together.
There's, like, a paraphilia.
Don't elaborate!
Huh?
Don't elaborate!
Oh.
All right.
What have you been playing?
What else? Wow.
Sydney, what have you been playing?
Legion came out today.
Thanks, Pat. You don't get your copy till tomorrow when this podcast is published.
Yeah.
Sydney, what have you been playing? You interrupted me.
I'm sorry. I'm the worst.
Six hours. Before you begin, I'm sorry! I'm gonna go! Pat?
Not actually, though.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off, but, like, you've been playing WoW for the past month and a half.
Well, what else do I play?
I've been trying to figure out.
You are on a gaming podcast.
Yeah.
Make an effort to play, like, one new game a week.
You have a gaming PC.
Yeah.
For WoW. He has a WoW PC. Mm-hmm. We'll get
in a library of 600
We'll
games.
Roast you for this later.
Alright.
Sydney.
6 hours ago, I played Tower Stuff.
Towerfall?
Yeah, no, not Towerfall.
Tricky Towers.
Yeah.
Explain it.
It's Tetris with physics, and I don't like physics, but okay. I really like Tetris. So I was bad at this game, but it was really fun. And last night I played Hearthstone for 2 hours.
Okay.
I won twice.
Yeah.
I'm still ranked 23.
How long has it been since you've played Hearthstone? A lot, and then to now, recently.
I probably took, like, a legitimate, like, 3 month break,
yeah,
and played maybe like 5 games in between.
Okay.
I got really frustrated because I'm really shitty at deck making, mm-hmm. so I've had the same quest for the 2 decks I don't have.
Okay.
And I'm too lazy to make my own decks, so I keep waiting for like a tavern brawl, and I just keep bringing new tavern brawls.
I will fix those for you.
Yeah.
I'll probably bring my laptop tomorrow.
Let
me tell you about
Dave
a beautiful resource
that I asked him to make. Me a deck.
No, wait, I should
and
bring
then
it
he
Thursday.
Looked through the deck that I made. He's like, did the bot make this?
I deleted it. Oh. It took up too much space.
It worked for me, though.
Yeah. So, finally, Adam.
What the fuck have I been playing? I started playing Deus Ex Mankind Divided. But not nearly enough to actually talk about it. Like, I played, like, maybe 45 minutes to an hour because mm-hmm. I've been absurdly busy the past week.
Yep.
I'll obviously keep going with that. I really like the last Deus Ex game, so I will continue. And I did the new Hearthstone wing, the opera. No, not the opera. What's the new
menagerie.
One? The menagerie. And I did the heroic ones again, and they were also easy as fuck. It's absurd that these heroic fights are so fucking easy. continuously.
Although I do wonder how much of that is like us being better at the game now, opposed to like because when we first played Noraxis,
so far.
I bet if I still went back to Naxxramas, I'd still have a fucking hard time. I might try it after this is all done.
Yeah, just to see how.
Just to see if it's like you know knowledge or just like knowledge and more cards versus like two years ago. I certainly have a much bigger library than I did 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I really like some of the cards from the set more than anything. I really like the Curator. I think he's my favorite card in the fucking set so far. The 7-mana 4/6 time.
Yeah, I know who he is.
A
it's
dragon,
just like...
a beast, and a Murloc. Mm-hmm. Because he made me run fucking Corrupted Seer in my decks. So he added an extra fucking removal for me. Azurdrake, you know, Azurdrakes are Azurdrakes.
Yeah.
And, like, Kodos now. So, like, I really like cards that, you know, make you build a whole fucking deck around them. And Curator isn't that, but it's certainly some of that. And it's not busted. Like, if anything, it reminds me of, like, old Ancient of Lore before. Mm-hmm. Like, almost exact, like, same stat distribution, only Curator has Taunt. You know, he has one extra health, one minus attack, one extra health.
Yeah.
And he still draws you 2 to 3 cards. So he reminds me a lot like of an old Ancient of Lore, but you draw exactly what you need.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly a big fan of any of the cards. Like, Curator's, like, useful.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to draw those two, like, good. Yeah.
It's not like
not like Barnes, where it's like Barnes can make you do some big things, but like Barnes is also like a bit too consistent for my taste.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not
or it's
like,
just like it's not like oh man, I did Yogg-Saron and then something cool happened
and now I won.
Yeah, it's like it's just like oh, every game you play, like this just kind of happens.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like you know a necessarily powerful effect. Like it's because you're playing a 4/6 on 7. That's fucking. That's horrible. You should never just play Curator with fucking nothing else. But I just really like that card a lot because of, you know, it gives you guaranteed draws. Like, say, like, you really need something. Like, oh man, Kodo would fucking kill it right now. And you play Curator. It's like, I have a Kodo now. Perfect.
Yeah. I hate this expansion, honestly. Like, there's nothing that draws me. I've been doing, like, a Beast Druid for a while, and so there's added cards for that. And so that's nice, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the cards they have to play with, like, the ones that are supposed to be fun cards are Purify, and then the rest of them are actually good.
Yeah.
And, like, it's never actually good to have those fun cards. Like, for example, Yogg-Saron. Everyone's like, this card sucks, but I can't wait to play it.
Yeah.
And now people are like, oh, this is actually a good card.
This is actually one of the best cards
in
the game.
And so it's like, it loses all of its magic when it becomes Flavor of the Month, you know?
Yeah.
That's whatever.
So, the only thing I've done is I got back into Neko Atsume.
Here we go again.
It's like the fucking California hotel up in here. I'm not going to say anything more about it. You put food out for digital cats, and then you take pictures of them.
That's always the weird part for me. It's like, hey, cats, baiting you. And I'm just like, yeah.
It's even weirder because you can, like, take a picture of their butt. Their butt's facing, like, your screen.
360
it's
cam.
It's so funny.
No, not 360 cam. Like,
no, it's like, it's 2D, but, like, sometimes they'll come and, like, they're turned away from where your point of view is.
Okay, so you just get a whole bunch of cat ass.
Yeah. So, I have nothing more to say about Neko Atsume. I think it's pretty fun, because, like, it's a non-demanding game.
And, like, when I first downloaded it, I was like, oh, hey, the first cat is named Snowball, and that's my dog's name.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Proud of you, Tiffany. Eloquently said.
We're proud of you.
So I guess with that, we should go into gaming news.
Yeah.
Kennedy had some stories we talked about earlier.
I forgot them already.
There was a One Piece thing?
Oh, yeah. it's not major news, except for me, because I'm weeaboo trash and I love One Piece, but they're working on a new One Piece game, and they've started to confirm a lot of characters, including one of my favorites, Lucci.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing it's not huge news.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it like another Musou clone?
Fuck if I know. It's probably another Pirate Warriors clone because, I mean, the last bunch of One Piece games to have come out have been...
That's a Musou clone.
Yeah, it's like a Dynasty Warriors game.
Well, I mean, I've never played Dynasty Warriors, so I wouldn't fucking
know. You kill like 2,000 dudes in a mission?
Yeah. By just pressing square.
Pirate Warriors. So, same shit. But they've all been the same game reskin, but with a bulkier roster. Because, you know, one of the beauties of making a One Piece game like that is because it's so long, you can make the roster fucking huge. Like, the one that just came out, Burning Blood, the roster is fucking huge!
Huge,
dude!
It's fucking wicked huge, dude!
Is it bigger than Street Fighter V's roster?
No.
Greater than zero.
I feel like Luffy's crew at this point is bigger than the Street Fighter roster.
It's probably maybe. Suffice to say, though, it's ginormous, and they're at that point with this one where they're starting to just confirm, okay, here's who we're putting in, here's who we're...
But yeah, speaking of anime, is anybody here watching Mob Psycho?
Yes!
I fucking love that show.
Okay,
I've been watching it, and I've just been like...
Before we become, like, offshoot, I have news.
News?
Like, one news that was pretty big, where No Man's Sky and Hello Games was apparently getting fucked in the ass by Steam by offering refunds for the game, no matter how much time you have played. That was confirmed false.
Yeah. They took it back.
Yeah. Because, like, everyone wanted to refund the game.
Yeah.
Apparently. I'm sure a few people got it.
That's super fair.
It's like...
Like, it's very fair. And it sucks that they, like, had to do it. It sucks that the game was released. And even in, like, the 10 days, I was on the lifecast.net today, and I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I should write a follow-up to my No Man's Sky thing. And then I realized it would be 6 words. Fuck this game. Fuck Sean Murray.
Yeah.
I haven't touched it.
Yeah, I'm really into it. I think it's really interesting, though.
Sean Murray's not one word.
This game.
To mention that,
Wait, no.
That's two words.
Fuck this game. Fuck
Suck my English degree!
There was two fucks, so I multiplied them.
Fuck this fuck game.
For some reason, I was thinking, fuck this Sean Murray. Not any Sean Murray. Not all Sean Murray.
This Sean Murray.
He's not the only Sean Murray.
That's implied in context, though.
No, yeah, I know. I'm just
there has to be another Sean Murray. I'm sure there is somewhere.
But nah, he's the only one.
I did a complete 180 on the game. I'm sure, like, I'll like it in a few months when they update it.
This game is bad. Yeah. Like, regardless of when you play it, games age poorly, the game plays horribly.
I still play Warframe.
Yeah, but...
I mean, if they actually take this, like... Because this is, like, an early access game that got released for $60 and was the most hyped game of all time.
Yeah.
So if it follows the trend of early access games...
Yeah.
I mean, a small handful of early access games that actually go somewhere...
Yeah.
Then it could be a good game later down the line. But, like, this game itself won't be like, we'll reflect on it and then be like, oh.
Oh, wow, it was a masterpiece.
Yeah, there's nothing good about it.
I feel like a lot of the stuff that, like, people have been saying about it, because, like, I haven't played it, so I don't know it fully. But it seems like just if you want to play, like, a good No Man's Sky, just buy fucking Ark.
Yeah.
Or just like, play 80 of this game. Fucking space sims that exist now. They have been doing this for years
Actually, I have a space sim on my thing. I forget what it's called.
Play sport.
Play fucking 3D pinball on Windows XP.
Better yet, if you want a game about, like, ecosystems and shit, play fucking Cubivore.
Play Symbiosis.
Play
Dark Souls. That's a great game about fucking exploration.
Spend more money on Warframe because you have no impulse control.
Video games ruin lives.
Something I would like to mention real quick while we're trashing on No Man's Sky is that I read recently that within these first, like, what, 1 or 2 weeks of it being out, it is already lost 90% of its
viewers. Yeah, because there's nothing to do. There's not a single thing for you to get, like, my god. That game was, like, an affront to everything I believe in video games to be. Which is why I hate it so much. Like, I just... Fuck pre-orders, fuck that game, fuck every, like...
I feel like such an idiot for, like, defending it in the first place. But, like, I don't know. My opinions change very quickly, and I have very strong opinions.
That game bothers me.
It bothers me a lot.
It's just, like... literally everything it did. I was just sitting there. I was just like,
"Oh, I forgot what I was gonna say."
Okay,
Mob Psycho.
In other gaming news, and this isn't even really fucking news. This isn't even that important. I can't look at any gaming news website without this being thrown in my face like 50 times. Build-A-Bear is getting an Eevee plush.
Yeah,
is that not the 100th time time you've heard that?
I actually have not heard that. This is news to me.
Yeah, I heard it today. But
I saw it a couple days ago.
We should do a special where we all go to Build-A-Bear.
That seems like 40 bucks. Which one?
Hey, man.
We'll pool our money and we'll split the EV.
Dude. I'll get them on Monday.
I have a Build-A-Bear that I got in 2001.
Alternating weekend.
Freaking one.
And I still have it, and I still bring it with me everywhere.
I built a Build-A-Bear. I built a Build-A-Bear like when I was 10, and I already had a teddy bear. I felt like so awful. I felt like I was betraying my teddy bear. I still have that teddy bear. I don't know where the Build-A-Bear went. We probably donated it somewhere.
Did its mouth look
staying
weird?
Loyal. Staying loyal.
I had that teddy bear since I was 2 months old, and I've had the blanket that came with it since I was 2 weeks old. Tidbits about me.
Little baby Deanna.
I'm still a baby. It's like I still hug it at night. I have no shame. it's sentimental to me.
I am the same way. Like I said, I've had the same Build-A-Bear since 2001. Whenever I move between states, Violet always comes with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have the same Dark Souls since 2011. It's just like every once in a while, I just like look at the case. I'm like, man, this is like so like 2007.
When you were a little baby, Greg.
When I was little baby, I played Dark Souls to become a man.
Came out of the womb with a copy of Dark Souls.
Yes. And then my father, Hidetaka Miyazaki, held me in his arms. And then he dropped me and said, "Learn to fend for yourself."
You didn't come out with an umbilical cord in your belly button. You came out with like an HDMI cord.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was born with a dark side. Anywho.
That was a great tangent. So, yeah.
There's really not much else in gaming news.
Yeah,
this week, is there?
There's really not much else. Do you know what's happening on PS Plus or Xbox Live?
No.
I mean,
this
BioShock collection comes out really soon.
Yeah.
And I am looking really forward to that because I love BioShock.
It's been a dry few weeks for gaming news.
Well, actually, no. There is one more thing we can bring up. We're probably about to get a lot of news because there's a Nintendo Direct. Coming up on the first, Mother 3. I'm telling you guys, this is the one! Mother 3!
It's a 3DS-centric.
I can't wait to, like, watch it on my phone in class with you looking over my shoulder and then have them not confirm Mother 3.
I can't wait for them to confirm Mother 3 while I'm in class because it's happening while me and Dan are in class together and I will legit, just in the middle of a lecture, I will just flip the table and I will just start yelling just like, "My boy!"
Please don't do that.
Reggie, my boy!
I've waited for this for 10 years!
You did it. You waited for it for like a year,
well,
maybe.
You know what I mean.
No, like 6 months.
Not 6 months. Point is, if they confirm Mother 3, I will be really, 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 really happy.
Yeah. I have never seen anyone so quickly hooked on a series than you have been with Earthbound. Like, I watched it happen. It was like 2 days.
It was
like 2 days.
It was really good.
You think that's bad. She was playing it in my house. I had to watch. No, not today, but, like, when she was doing it.
Yeah,
because like,
I
had to watch the
like,
whole thing unfold.
Yeah, because, like, I got Earthbound.
I have not witnessed anyone develop an attachment that quickly except for myself.
Deanna, I spent $60 on Fire Emblem 2 days after I started playing Awakening and didn't finish Awakening.
Oh, guys, remember
like,
when I got
but like,
when
we just have
Pokemon
a lot of love
TCG.
In our hearts.
Yeah.
When that Nintendo rewards thing, that first one was going
down.
Going
to the store.
I had just enough points
just
to get
to
Earthbound
store.
On the virtual console on the Wii U. And I didn't
Pokemon
have a Wii U,
cards.
But Dan does.
Oh,
and
no,
I was able
I'm
to
buying.
Get a code
oh,
before
sorry.
They somehow ran out of codes.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think speaks very much on the behalf of how great this game is. And so, yeah, I played it over at Dan's house.
Like the fact that Nintendo doesn't know how to do an infinitely generated code.
Yeah, how do you run out?
I remember one time specifically, I was at your house playing Earthbound, and I was, like, playing it all day, and you went downstairs to get, like, a drink or something, and you came up, and you were like, "Hey, Kennedy, my mom was wondering if you're okay, because she hasn't, like, seen you since you got up this morning, because you've been playing Earthbound the whole time, so why don't you go down and say hi?" And I was like, "Oh, shit, it's been that long, okay?"
Oh, shit.
But Earthbound is really good. Play the Mother Trilogy, everyone.
Okay. We'll do.
Anyway.
Instead of Mother.
Were you gonna say Dark Souls?
Secret Hitler.
Secret Hitler also.
We played Secret Hitler this week.
I haven't yet.
I haven't yet.
You're a bad Hitler.
Fuck
you don't
you.
Deserve it.
I want to redo where I'm fascist with fascists that don't suck. That was a good high five.
That was a really good high five.
He's got to learn how to put the team on your back, dude.
Jake fucked up before I could say anything.
Yeah, Jake was a fascist both times. I was a fascist.
Yeah. I was a fascist when you were two.
Yeah, I was fascist the first two games, twice. And I was liberal the third time.
Greg is the best person to play Secret Hitler with if you have him on your team.
Yes.
Like, honestly. Even, like, when you're not on, if we're on different political parties.
Yes.
Like, you're still a good person to play Secret Hitler with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because I remember everything. Nothing you do will escape my vision.
I guess what she's saying is you're just a really good Hitler, Greg.
I've never been Hitler.
I felt more motivated to talk in person.
Yeah. It's because you're not, like... You're not, like, in your room by yourself, or, like having to, like,
in
whisper into your microphone.
Like, and two people talking the exact same thing. No, you go! Because you can't see people starting to talk.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. No, and then they start talking. There's a 3-second delay on VoIP. So you just, like, and then you stop halfway through. and then they try to start again, and then you start.
Yeah.
Also, I don't have to restart my voice, like, Discord constantly.
That's true.
You should fix that.
Yeah. I can't. I don't know how.
Yeah. So, we don't have questions this week. I was fucking exhausted and forgot to put out, like, we're recording a podcast tomorrow. Ask us questions.
I forgot to think of questions.
Yeah.
I was too busy moving.
I forgot.
Yeah, like, it's been a hectic week all around, it seems.
Yeah.
And classes started up, and most of us are still in school.
I don't think we're gonna have a new recording schedule. We might have a new video schedule. So unless anyone has anything to add...
Absolutely nothing.
This has been a short
podcast. I like dogs.
Alright, so, Mob Psycho, most recent episode. Holy shit, those animators know how to make things look like it hurts.
Okay,
there was this fight.
The animation for Mob Psycho is, by a very large margin, the best this season, but my problem with Mob Psycho is it took, like, 3 episodes for it to get good.
Oh, yeah.
It took 3 episodes for it to get good, but when it got really good. But it's still not even the best thing on this season. Watch, this art club has problems. It is so
is that real life? Can I mention
anime? I like animes with no fighting. Does it have no fighting in it?
It's a comedy anime about... Okay, no, I actually think everybody
here... Is it about Nisad?
No. I mean, yes and no. Yes and no. But I actually think everybody here would really like it. It is an anime about these two high school students and this guy. Like, they're both in the art club, and there's this guy. He's super talented, but he is literally just drawing waifus all day. Like, he will go in there, and he'll say, today I'm going to draw my 50 bajillionth wife. I want her to have cat ears, and she's a maid, and he just, you know, keeps making them, like, as moe as possible, and then there's a girl, and she has a crush on him somehow, and it's just her trying to, and, because, like, this guy has no interest in 3D.
Yeah, he has no interest at all.
No interest!
Like, there's, like, so many opportunities where it's, like, well, shit will happen, and he'd be like, oh, if he was a normal teen, like... He would, you know, there'd be like a problem or something.
This is ripped straight out of an ecchi anime.
Yeah, and then he's just like, get away from me, ew, you 3D woman.
3D PD, 3D PD. Oh,
this sounds great.
It's fantastic.
It's pretty good.
Speaking of anime that got really good really fast, Anohana. I watched 10 minutes and cried and couldn't.
Anohana, okay.
It's not a good show to watch when you're depressed.
Okay, no,
yeah, I watched it when I was, like, at a low point. I was like, I can't!
I sympathize.
Anohana is one of the saddest anime I've ever seen. I've seen a ridiculous amount of anime. I don't even want to talk about how much anime I've seen.
I didn't want to ruin, like, the joke anime, like, happy shit, but, like, I had to say it. I'm a fucking sap.
Anohana got me really close to crying, and there has only been one anime to bring me to literal tears, but Anohana got really close.
What is
I cried at, like,
everything. That anime is One Piece. Oh. It's,
let me guess, is it's when Mr... What's his face?
Spoilers.
Dallas.
Spoilers don't exist. One Piece has been around forever.
One Piece is long enough. Like, honestly, people probably know this by now. Honestly, you know this by now if you've seen promo images from the last, like, fucking 10 years. When they burn the Going Merry in episode 312, I remember exactly episode 312, when they burn the Going Merry, their first, like, legit ship. They have this funeral for it, and, like, everybody is just sobbing, and
I hate the funeral scene so much, they
fucking,
hit me in the heart.
When I watched that for the first time, I fucking lost it.
It's a ship.
It's their friend!
We're pirates! To them, it's more than just a ship.
Ships are firewood.
No,
they're not firewood!
They go in the water!
I feel like that's a really good place to call it.
That was the Weeaboo cast.
That, yeah.
The Weeaboo cast.
I hope you guys enjoyed this little bonus segment. God, what even was this episode?
Short.
To the point.
We're really living up to that relatively coherent tagline, aren't we?
Shooting for the stars.
Completely unfiltered, relatively coherent. That's what we are at the Lifecast. We will see you next week!
But you didn't let me talk about the paraphilia.
What the hell is paraphilia?